never hear about the solid rock, and I don't think about when I was in the altar seeking the Lord and my very dear pastor, only pastor I've ever had in my life, that would come by and say, "Son, keep a digging till you hit the solid rock." And I had no clue as to what he was talking about, but I know what he was talking about now. I know about the solid rock. We have some visitors with us. You just all filled a pew and more up here this morning, and that's so nice. They're visitors today, but you all are from this church, or your families were originally. Am I correct? The Tipton family? Am I on the right track?
McCracken and Tipton.
McCracken and Tipton. Okay. Which of the McCrackens? Now, see, I'm old enough, I'm probably going to remember some of these people. I'm probably about the only one here, though, that's that old, so. Well, she's not quite as old as I am. She'd want me to be sure to tell you that, you know. Was that the Leif McCracken? Okay, all right. So, yeah. Good to have all of you here this morning, each one of you. Appreciate you being here. Very nice of you to come back here and... Good. 165 years the church has been in existence. We're celebrating that this year, and so nice to have some of our people who've come back. It's been a little over 50 years since I was pastor here the first time, so I can lay claim to the fact that I'm one of the old-timers here. But some good people, the Tiptons and the McCrackens, and I had... a wonderful privilege. Ira McCracken was an old fellow who was here when I was here the first time I pastored here. And so certainly remember some of those people. Well, the rest of you, that doesn't mean anything to you this morning, so you can just kind of write that off. Thank you again for the good special. Thank you all for being here with us this morning. I hope you enjoy the service, and I always want you to feel welcome to come anytime that you can near the area. I went back and listened to my message last Sunday morning. That's an advantage for some of you who may not know that Dennis and Timmy and Bob are all now getting us on our website, so that those messages are all there. You can go in and listen to them anytime that you feel gutsy enough that you might want to hear them again. I get to go back and kind of critique him. And one of the things that as I was listening, I know that if Shirley had been alive, she'd have said, "Kent, you're getting back in that habit again. You're pausing too long between your statements." And I had not realized that until I listened and noticed that I am getting back. So once in a while, if one of you just kind of just give me the speed it up sign, or maybe I can get you going a little faster, Ronnie. I think that's the way they do it. You know, speed those cars up. Bill would know what this and that. You kind of keep them moving, get them rolling around there. So maybe I need to do that. I'm going to get you out of here on time this morning, but my text this morning is one that that probably, as I thought about it, is truly a sad text in the Word of the Lord. It's not the saddest text. The saddest text in the Word of the Lord, as far as I'm concerned, is harvest is past, summer is ended, and we are not saved. Now, that's a sad one, folks, whether you like to think about it or not. The other one probably comes close to that is, "I called, but he gave me no answer. I sought him, but I found him not." This one is the words of the Lord to his disciples shortly after what I'd preached last week. And I really had not kept that in mind as I got this text. The Lord gave it to me early in the week, and I've had some time to think about it. But it's a text that Jesus said to the disciples, "Sleep on, sleep on." I fear that many of our Christian people today are spiritually asleep. We have been lulled into forgetting how important it is that we work in the work of the Lord. When I first began preaching, I went over and supplied. I used to do a lot of supply preaching for preachers that either, you know, were not going to be able to keep their appointments or whatever, and they would invite me to go and fill in for them, and I supplied for them. And I went to this one particular church a number of times, and every time I was there, the old boy sat right down on the amen row, right out here on the front seat. And just within 2 minutes after I'd get up to start preaching, he was sound asleep. I mean, every time. And I don't know whether I caused him to go into sleep or not, but I'll tell you what he said one time. One of the fellow members there said to him, said, "My goodness," said, "you know, you go to sleep as soon as the preaching starts," and said, "sometimes you're snoring." And he was. But that wasn't the point. And so the old boy said to him, looking right square down, he says, "You know what?" He said, "I trust old Ken enough that I just leave it with him, you know." So sometimes maybe we're sleeping and we're trusting that someone else is going to do okay. Jesus, in probably one of the catastrophic, if I may use the word, moments of his time here upon the earth, after he had indicated that the disciples were going to forsake him, that they were going to be scattered, and that they were going to deny him, took them up and went out to pray. And as he went out to pray, it says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. And he says unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." And I want you to listen to what he says to his disciples. "I want you to sit right here while I go over there and pray." "And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee," James and John. It doesn't say that. It just says the two sons of Zebedee. "And began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." I want, you know, you to see the scene. The Lord has all of the disciples with him, but he stops all of them at a given point, and then he goes a little further, and he takes with him that little further distance Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John. And he says to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful." When you put this scripture with the events that you know are soon to happen, that he's going to be taken and he's going to be interrogated and then he's going to be crucified, it's very easy for people to jump to the conclusion that what he's talking about here is that he is sorry for what's going to happen to him. Now, everyone has a right to interpret Scripture however you choose. And you don't have to agree with me, but I believe there is only one thing in the events that are about to happen that he was sorrowful about. And it wasn't the way he was going to be treated. It wasn't that he was going to suffer. It wasn't that he was going to be placed upon a cross. But the Bible says that he was very sorrowful. And he said to those three men, "You tarry here and watch with me." That's all I want. You just, you know, just be here and watch with me. "And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And would you listen to what he prayed? He said to his Father. I talked to the deacons here some time back, and I will throw out here the idea and let you all cogitate on it. and some of you might like it and some of you may not, and that would be expected. I said, you know, one of the things that this year I'd like maybe for us to do is to have a Bible study, and the theme would be teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. Now, we Baptists are notorious for thinking that once a person gets saved, they've got all the answers to everything. They know everything that they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to do it, when they're supposed to do it, where they're supposed to do it, on and on and on. The truth of the matter is that Jesus' disciples, after he had called them and after he had been with them, they came to him and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. I'm always in a dilemma as to who I can call on in the congregation who's comfortable with praying in public and who is not. And so I only have a certain number. Some of you probably wonder why he never calls on me. Well, probably because I don't know for sure whether or not you're willing or comfortable with praying in public. And so if you are, you just let me know and I'll call on you, because I'd like to see that expanded somewhat. However, if you're one of those people who says, oh, Lord, don't you call on me, preacher, you let me know that too, you know, and then I'll try not to embarrass you. But we need to know how to pray. We also, you know, many times we pray, we're always asking the Lord for something, but sometimes we forget to praise him. We forget to thank him. And sometimes we need to do that. And there is a difference. Well, I don't want to get sidetracked and digress here, but Jesus, when he went out there and he prayed, you know, his heart was very heavy. And he prayed and he said, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now, most of us can't even pray that way. We can't pray and say, Lord, that way. Or somebody's going to say, well, I pray that way all the time. Yes, you do, but you don't mean it. Because whatever the Lord wants to do his way. Well, I didn't understand him. I don't believe that was the Lord speaking to me. Because it didn't come out the way you wanted it to. You know, he only answers us whenever that it comes our way. Well, that's not right, folks. If you're going to pray that you want his will done, you better be willing to accept what he says. And sometimes you aren't going to like that. Sometimes it's not going to please you. Sometimes it's not going to be what you think. So be careful when you're praying. Sometimes it's just more honest to say, Lord, let me have my way. I'm going to do it anyway. But Jesus prayed and said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now, let me give you, I said earlier, you can agree or disagree with me on anything you want. And I've really got to hurry here because I haven't got to my text yet. But I do not believe that Jesus was saying, oh, please don't let me have to go to the cross. Please don't let me have to go through all that I'm going to experience. I believe there was only one thing that was in his mind at this point in time. I believe he knew that moment was going to come when he was going to be forsaken of the Father. The only time I know of in the Word of the Lord where God the Father and God the Son are separated. And when he hanged there upon the cross, I'm going to be preaching on that in the Good Friday service, one of them. But when he hanged up, I feel a little plug in once in a while, but something sounds good back coming up. When he was hanging there upon the cross and he took upon himself my sin, your sin, the sins of the whole world, the Bible very clearly teaches that God cannot look upon sin. And when Jesus took upon himself my sin, the Father and the Son, they were separated. They were separated. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all is as one. accepting in that moment that he became sin in my place. And the Father looked away. And in that moment he cried out and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I believe Jesus knew at this very moment in time that this was coming, and he did not want that separation from his Father, but he came as an obedient servant to do the will of the Father. Even obedient unto death upon the cross, even obedient to taking upon himself the transgressions of the whole world. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Couldn't you just stay awake 1 hour? Lord, Lord only knows how many of our people today think once they've spent an hour in church that they've fulfilled their obligation to the Lord and that they've done everything they need to do. I was in church. I was there. I heard the preacher. I listened to the singing. I heard the praying. I might even have prayed once in a while. Might have sung a little bit. So I've done my work. Let me tell you something. I hope this is just only the beginning of your work. That this is where you come to be spiritually fed. And that's my responsibility, to see that you get the word of the Lord. But Jesus said as he came back here, he found the disciples had even stayed awake with him for 1 hour. He said, what, could you not have watched for 1 hour? You know, God doesn't ask very much of us, any of us. Oh, sometimes we think our crosses are so heavy and we've got such a burden that we have to bear in the work of the Lord, and sometimes we just put ourselves on a pity trip. And then there are other times that we look around and say, oh my, aren't they such a servant of the Lord and doing so good? Let me tell you something. Most of us don't do much of anything for the Lord. We may think we do. But for what he's done for us, we could never begin to do enough to repay him for his goodness. We were not saved because of our goodness. We were not saved because of the works that we had done. We were saved because of his graciousness and his goodness and his love and his mercy. Couldn't you have just watched an hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them, and he went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now. Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise and let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Sleep on. You couldn't stay awake. I took you three. You were special. You are special to me. I took you out here. I didn't ask much of you, but you weren't even able to do that. And what I'm going to do has to be done. So you sleep on now. Sleep on. There was an old boy, got about 2 minutes, in the word of the Lord that the Lord had spoken unto him and give him a job to do. And he said, no, I'm not going to do it. I am not going to go down there and talk to those people or preach to those people. They're not my people. I'm not going. And he went the opposite direction. Bought him a pass on the boat, Frank. Got on board. And the Bible says he went down into the belly of the ship and went to sleep. Went down there and went to sleep. Storms came up. Trouble. Wasn't trouble for him, it was trouble for all the rest of those people, those professionals up on board the ship there, and he's asleep. He could have cared less what was going on up there. He wasn't going to do what the Lord wanted him to do and hang the rest of them. Jesus, on another occasion, said, you know, a man sowed good seed in his field. And while they slept, the enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat. Tell you what's happening while we're sleeping. The enemy is sowing seed that is bad seed, folks. And don't you think for a second it is. When they went to do the harvest, there was tares among the wheat. And they had awakened to the realization that something had happened. I hope we don't sleep too long and we wake up to the realization of what has been happening, what is going on. When they woke up, they said, well, you know, we'll go in there. We'll get it all straightened out. We've got a lot of people today who are trying to straighten things out and don't have an idea of what they're doing. They're doing more damage than they're doing good. Jesus said, no. You don't go in there and try to get them out of there. You'll destroy the wheat with the tares. You leave them alone. In the time of harvest, I will separate them. My job is to take care of Kent Parson. And that's a full-time job. And he gives me more trouble than anybody else I know of. But I'll guarantee you, he's going to stand one of these days before the great I Am. And when he does, he'll answer for Kent Parson. He won't answer for a single one of you. One more. Jesus gave another illustration of the word of the Lord. He said there were 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. 5 wise took oil in the lamp, 5 foolish did not. And while they slept, all 10, at the midnight cry, they got tired of waiting for the bridegroom to come. They got weary. They gave up and they went to sleep. At midnight, the cry went out, behold, a bridegroom cometh. And they woke out of their sleep. And the 5 wise with oil in their lamps. The 5 foolish with no oil. They all slept. They all woke, but they weren't all the same. Let me tell you something. Not everybody here this morning is the same. There are some who've been wise. They've listened. They heeded as the Spirit spoke into their hearts, and they've come to the Lord and allowed Him to save them. We are saved this morning because as much as He wanted to not have to be separated from His Father, He was willing to do that because He loved us. There will be some, when separation comes, will go the wrong direction. And it will be because of what you've done here upon the earth. I hope that we'll not sleep and we'll not slumber until it's too late.